Hello and welcome to the Bloomington Pantograph on Monday, October 22nd. This is Susan Over. We will begin today's edition with $1 million bid for zoo work up for vote. Bloomington. Miller Park Zoo would get a new concession stand, more parking, and a new roof for its entrance building if the City Council approves a $1.06 million construction contract today. The council will consider when it meets at 6 p.m. at City Hall whether to award that contract to Bloomington-based Stark Excavating, Inc. The project will address two of the biggest complaints about the zoo. There is not enough parking and there is no food. This will take care of both problems while making the zoo some money. So said Jay Tetzloff, zoo superintendent and director of City Parks, Recreation, and Cultural Arts Department. The total cost of those improvements, including design work, is expected to total about $1.2 million. The project would be paid for with $100,000 from a state grant, $100,000 from the City Parks Dedication Funds, and about $1 million in borrowed money. The latter would include $400,000 borrowed at no interest from the city's park dedication funds and paid back at the rate of about $27,000 per year over 15 years. Another $600,000 would come from a 15-year bank loan at 3.25% interest with an estimated debt service of $50,000 per year. Quote, we believe there is enough revenue to be generated from the concession stand to pay for those loans, Tetzloff said, end quote. The plan projects $147,000 in added annual revenue and $61,888 in additional expenses, netting an annual profit of $85,112 from that concession stand, said Tetzloff. The concession stand would be added to the zoo's existing gift shop in the 28-year-old entrance building, but it would be able to serve both the zoo and park patrons with service windows inside the zoo, as well as facing the park's playground area. When the concession stand is open, possibly in May 2019, patrons will not be allowed to bring their own food into the zoo, he added. The additional parking, a 55% increase over existing parking, will be created by reconfiguring the roads leading to the zoo's entrance. In June 2014, the zoo was approved for $700,000 in funding from the Illinois Public Museum Capital Grant Program to pay for the improvements, but Governor Bruce Rauner froze such funding soon after he took office in January 2015. In June, the budget signed into law by Rauner included reinstating that grant through the Illinois Department of Natural Resources Public Museum Capital Grants. After $100,000 from that grant is applied toward the improvements project, the balance could be used to fund the proposed De Brazza's monkey exhibit, which was suspended after the grant was initially frozen. The Stark bid was about $1,400 higher than the lowest bid from N. Zobris Construction in Morton, but it was deemed the lowest when the $50,000 local contractor preference credit was deducted for comparison purposes. Other action the council will consider this evening include clarifying various department names, specifically the Water Department, which will become a division of the city's Public Works Department. Giving the city manager direction to begin addressing the payment of accrued sick leave to grandfathered employees, starting with negotiating the benefit out of the city's collective bargaining statements. Adopting a resolution to use a pending $200,000 Illinois Safe Routes to School program grant in 2019, if awarded, to construct and repair sidewalks near Sheridan Elementary School. End of article. MCLP Fundraiser Plan, Bloomington. Multicultural Leadership Program, MCLP, in its 10th year of leadership development, is having its annual Pass It Forward fundraising campaign tomorrow. The goal is for more than 100 donors to support program development and scholarships for MCLP, whose leadership development includes participants completing group projects for local nonprofit organizations. Donations may be made tomorrow at bn-mclp.org/give. You may call 309-556-3589. End of article. Flick fact, true or false? Williamson County in southern Illinois, along Interstate 57, Marion is its county seat, hasn't always been happy to be in Illinois. Answer, that is true. In 1861, in fact, Williamson County adopted an official resolution to secede from the Union and the state of Illinois to join the Confederacy. Thanks to Bob Bradley, a professor emeritus at ISU, who is working on historical reports as part of Illinois' bicentennial. End of article. Veterans Corner, Veterans Treatment Court. There is a lot of misinformation about how the Veterans Treatment Court will operate and who will have access. An advisory board will initiate an information outreach program soon to explain that court and its operation. The court was created pursuant to a 2015 law requiring counties in Illinois to have such a court available for hearing certain kinds of cases. The Veterans Treatment Court and McLean County Mental Health Recovery Court have a combined advisory board. The Consolidated Veterans Treatment Court and Mental Health Recovery Court Advisory Board will present a spooktacular trick-or-treat night from 6 till 11 p.m. on October 27th, which is Saturday, from 6 p.m. to 11 p.m. at the Moose Lodge, 614 IAA Drive in Bloomington. You may call Deb Schoolrudd at 309-530-6408. 530-6408 for more information. Space is limited. People will sign up teams of 8. The cost is $200 per team. End of article. Review of custody decision sought. U.S. Supreme Court to I. McLean County case, Bloomington. The mother of a Bloomington girl is asking the U.S. Supreme Court to review a McLean County judge's decision to give custody of her daughter to the child's grandparents. Courtney Herman lost custody of her daughter, referred to in court records as J.H., in October of 2016, after failing to convince Judge William Yoder she had been an active parent to the child, who was 8 when the petition for custody was filed by Crystal Young and her husband, Dr. Michael Young. Unlike most custody cases where individuals lose their parental rights because of allegations of abuse and neglect, no such accusations were filed by the state against the mother. Crystal Young, who is Herman's former boyfriend's mother, argued in her petition for custody she and her husband had provided much of the child's care since infancy and were in the best position to provide for her needs. Herman's lawyer, Jeff Lindsay, is raising a constitutional challenge to an Illinois law which allows any third party to file for custody without regard to how the parties may be related or whether the child was harmed by the parents. The petition also asks the court to consider if Herman was entitled to a hearing on the relationship issue before the judge considered what was in the overall best interest of the child. The Supreme Court is scheduled to review Herman's case on Friday for possible placement on the court's docket. A review of the McLean County case by the High Court is an important step in Herman's efforts to regain custody, said Lindsay. Quote, the law and the facts favor my client, the mother. I remain hopeful that justice will prevail. In his brief to the Supreme Court, Lindsay compares Herman's case to the current national crisis underway among immigrant parents who have been separated from their children. If federal law grants the power to reunite non-citizen children with their parents, absent a finding of unfitness or harm, this court, in applying the Constitution, has the right to reunite a U.S. citizen with her parent and sibling under the same standards, argues the brief. End quote. The custody dispute between Herman and Young started in 2015 after Herman greatly reduced the time her daughter was allowed to spend at the Young's home. According to Herman, her daughter asked for more time with her neighborhood friends. That disagreement between the two women erupted into a screaming match at a school bus stop in the fall of 2015, according to state records. 2 days after filing her petition for custody on December 2, 2015, Young was granted an order of protection that placed the child in her home. In a statement provided by their attorney, Gina Wood, the Youngs said, after numerous hearings and several days of trial, the trial court issued an order articulating its findings and rulings. The 4th District Appellate Court affirmed those rulings within a lengthy and reasoned opinion. The Illinois Supreme Court denied Ms. Herman's petition for leave to appeal. Herman still fights back, tears when she recalls the day she received legal paperwork at a Bloomington nursing home where she works as a CNA. Quote, I don't understand why Crystal Young did it. She just wanted to hurt me and she could afford to. I did not understand how they could take my child, said Herman, end quote. Now a sixth grader, J.H. spends one night a week and every other weekend with her mother and teenage brother. Herman, 37, admits she struggled as a single parent to raise her child without support from a former boyfriend, David Heron, who is Crystal Young's son. J.H. often stayed at the Young's home, said Herman. The grandparents paid for some educational expenses, dance and gymnastics lessons, and they took the child on vacations. The mother acknowledged her child benefited greatly from the grandparents' income of more than $400,000, according to state records. The mother and grandmother disagree, however, on what is in the best interest of the child when it comes to a primary caregiver. Bloomington lawyer Helen Ogar, who served as court-appointed guardian ad litem for the child, visited J.H. at Herman's apartment and the Young's home in an east side Bloomington subdivision. Both households showed the child a great deal of love, according to Ogar. J.H. was unable to specify what she thought of as her primary residence, but her perception was they were one big family, said Ogar's report that recommended Herman and Young share decision-making for J.H. If the child was returned home, the Young should be given extensive parenting time, states the report. In his ruling, giving custody to the Youngs, Yoder noted the child's desire was for the status quo. The judge said Herman indefinitely surrendered her parental rights when Young became the primary caregiver for J.H. Herman's continued relationship with the child was more of a visitation with her, the judge ruled. The 4th District Appellate Court upheld Yoder's decision, saying the mother's arrangement with the Youngs to co-parent J.H. amounted to her voluntary relinquishment of parental responsibilities. End of article. Future of Election Commission up to voters. Bloomington. The Bloomington Election Commission finds itself in the unusual spot of being on its own ballot for November 6th. At issue is the future of the commission, which has overseen elections in the city since 1914. The McLean County Clerk's Office handles elections for the rest of the county, including Normal. The question of consolidating election functions has surfaced off and on since the 1990s, but this is the first time it has been challenged and placed on the ballot, according to Denise Williams, BEC Board Chairman. Because the commission serves only Bloomington, only registered voters in Bloomington will decide that question. And oddly worded, shall the city election law be rejected? A majority of yes votes would mean dissolving BEC and its election functions automatically moving to the county clerk's office. A majority of no votes would keep the BEC in place. The McLean County Libertarian Party put the process in motion in March when party members began circulating petitions to get the measure on the ballot. If the BEC is dissolved, Libertarian Party members are divided over whether the county clerk or a countywide commission should handle elections, said McLean County Libertarian Party Chairman Steve Seuss. Quote, I do know that either one of those two situations is better than what we have right now, where we have two separate election authorities operating in the same county, which is costing us more money than we need to spend. At the same time, it is confusing for voters, confusing for candidates, said Seuss. Bloomington, end of quote. Bloomington is among six cities in our state who continue to operate separate election commissions. The others are Chicago, Danville, East St. Louis, Galesburg, and Rockford. Of 102 counties in Illinois, only DuPage and Peoria have independent countywide election commissions. Excuse me. A judge appoints three members to three-year terms on the BEC, Bloomington Election Commission. By law, there must be one representative from each of the major parties. The third member can be of any political leaning. BEC members are Republicans Tim Mitchell and Robert Felton, and Williams, a Democrat. Connie Beard, chairman of the McLean County Republican Party, said consolidation of the work would remove appointment system by a partisan judge and allow voters direct control over who conducts elections, since the county clerk is elected. Mitchell, who has been an election judge for a decade, said the appointments are made on electoral experience, not ideology. City voters established the Bloomington Election Commission on November 3, 1914, due to election fraud at the time, and the citizens of Bloomington wanted elections with no partisan politics, said Mitchell. Beard says transferring BEC's duties to the clerk's office would create savings through overall staff reduction and greater efficiency in budget management. Mitchell disagrees, saying the county and BEC use different election equipment. The county either would have to buy more of its own equipment or continue to run two election counts. Mitchell favors an independent countywide election commission. He does not support turning everything over to the county clerk and said, quote, I have seen nothing that indicates there will be cost savings. The average cost per registered voter for the Bloomington Election Commission is about $10, as compared to an average cost of $12 for the clerk, both Mitchell and Williams said. So, if you transfer the approximately 48,000 registered voters to the county clerk, it would result in a $96,000 increase in costs, said Mitchell. The clerk's office has said they can handle the increase in workload without an increase in staff. Yet I fail to see how almost doubling the number of voters served by the clerk's office could be done with the same level of staffing while providing high-quality voter services, end quote. Like Mitchell, McLean County Democratic Party Chairman Eric Rankin favors establishing a countywide election commission independent of the clerk's office. A few years ago, the League of Women Voters of McLean County raised that same idea. Without state legislation, Seuss notes, the only way to get from the current arrangement to a countywide commission is to first eliminate the Bloomington Election Commission. McLean County voters then would have to determine whether to form an independent countywide commission, or the McLean County Board would have to approve creation of one. End of article. Zoo Spectacular set October 27th and 28th, Saturday and Sunday. Mueller Park Zoo's Spooktacular will be October 27th and 8th. That event runs 5 until 8 p.m. Admission is $3 for zoo members and $7 for non-members. On October 28th, Sunday, activities and crafts will run from noon till 3. Those are free with zoo admission. Visitors may wear Halloween costumes and enjoy crafts, animal encounters, storytelling, and candy. Local organizations and community businesses will be present. End of article. Goal, a good night's sleep. Volunteers build beds for 60 children in need of third bed blitz event, Bloomington. When Cody Lebowitz visited a friend and saw him sleeping on a van seat in the living room, he realized there were more people in the Twin Cities who needed help than he originally thought. Quote, I have no idea where he got his energy from because he was a workout friend of mine, he said, but it sure wasn't from sleep, end quote. Lebowitz was one of about 200 people who volunteered through the Tool Library to build beds for 60 needy children in the McLean County area on Saturday at Youth Build McLean County, 360 Wiley Drive in Normal, said Youth Build Executive Director Tracy Polson. It was the third year for this event, which provides children with a handmade bed frame, bedding, a quilt, a hygiene kit, and a children's book from the Books to Benefit collection. Quote, there are a lot of underlying factors I think a lot of people don't see in their everyday life, Leibowitz said. There are things we can do to improve life for kids in West Bloomington and all over Bloomington Normal. This is one of those things. Polson said prior to the start of the first bed blitz 3 years ago, officials researched whether or not there was a need for beds for kids in McLean County after a colleague saw a posting on social media about a family in need of beds. We thought at first there is no way in Bloomington Normal we have kids with no beds, but it is actually a very real thing. Not only did we find out there were kids without beds, we found there were a lot more out there in need than just what we could do in 1 year. The need hasn't decreased at all. The Novak family of Normal volunteered their help at Saturday's event after seeing media reports last year about needs of local youth. I thought it was an amazing program to help children in need, said Rebecca Novak. Her 14-year-old daughter, Ava, was also helping out. Ryan Miller of Bloomington said he and members of a group called Bloomington Area Chive, a group devoted to doing charity work, thought it was the perfect opportunity to work together on a project. We like to give back to society and have fun, he said. Us did it last year. We brought more people this time because it makes us feel good to give back to society. Several other groups and businesses helped as well, Polson said. Sherman's in Normal donated all the beds and mattresses, she added. That helped cut our budget in half, she said. We have beautiful Serta mattresses. It is the best that a lot of these families could ever have. The Quilting Guild provided each child with a handmade quilt, Polson said, and Books to Benefit will allow each child to choose a children's book from its collection. Nearly 61% of low-income families have no books at all in their homes for their children, said Books to Benefit President Jackie Langhoff. Positively impacting childhood literacy strengthens families, supports a healthy lifestyle, deters crime, and positively impacts the economy. End quote. End of article. ISU issues advisory after gunfire. Normal. Police in Normal are investigating an incident in which shots were fired into a resident early Saturday. Illinois State University issued a crime advisory as a result of that incident. Police say they were called to an off-campus residence in the 800 block of South Fell Avenue in Normal at about 4:40 a.m. on Saturday after residents reported hearing gunfire. Police located shell casings outside that home. The Normal Police Department is investigating the incident, but believe it is an isolated incident with no students involved. There were no injuries. Police were at the same location about 3 hours earlier to investigate a complaint of criminal damage to a vehicle. It is not known if the two incidents are related. Anyone with information is asked to call the Normal Police Department at 309-454-9535, 454-9535. If you wish to remain anonymous, you can call Crime Stoppers at 309-828-1111, 828-1111. End of article. Divorces. The following divorces were recently finalized in McLean County Circuit Court. Huber, Travis and Selena Vance Huber. Mann, Timothy and Catherine Mann. Peterson, James and Jennifer Peterson. Wilkes, Eric and Monica Wilkes. Qua, Q-U-A-H, Sarah and Mark Qua. Kellenberger, Bradley and Sarah Kellenberger. Umstad, Joseph and Katie Umstad. Erling, Christopher Erling Jr. and Elena Erling. Summers, Brittany and Jordan Summers. Long, John Long II and Jill Long. End of article. Man arrested after high-speed pursuit. Normal. A Normal man was arrested last Friday for armed violence following a high-speed pursuit which reached 100 miles an hour in Normal. Prosecutors said on Saturday at about 10:30 p.m. Friday, Patrol officers were following a gray Saturn with heavy right side damage, which accelerated quickly away from officers. At one point, it appeared to be traveling between 70 and 100 miles an hour on Linden Street. According to prosecutors, because of previous contacts, normal police officers knew a man identified as Kiwanis Haynes, 19, was known to drive that vehicle. After losing sight of the car, officers went to his last known address and located the parked vehicle. When officers approached, four males exited the vehicle, and during a search of the car, multiple bags of cannabis were found in the center console of the vehicle, court documents indicated. Officers compounded the vehicle, I think it's supposed to say impounded the vehicle, and located a handgun underneath the car, prosecutors said on Saturday. During a search of a neighboring yard, another handgun was found. The juvenile who was in the vehicle told officers Haynes had picked him up and was driving erratically. The juvenile added he found a gun in the pocket of the driver's seat and threw it over the fence because he didn't know what else to do, according to court documents. Haynes remains jailed in lieu of posting $10,035. He is due in court November 2nd. End of article. Public safety, disorderly conduct. An Amtrak train was stopped Friday night near McLean after a man threatened to shoot passengers. McLean County prosecutors said a man identified as Daryl Sherrod, 29, was traveling on that train heading to Chicago when he became unruly and threatened to shoot people on the train. The threat alarmed and disturbed an Amtrak employee who called 911. Sherrod was charged with disorderly conduct and released on a $5,000 personal recognizance bond. He is due in court on October 31st. End of article. Power outages and high winds and field fires in the area. Bloomington. Strong winds kept fire departments and power companies, particularly in rural areas, busy Saturday afternoon. Several area fire departments, such as the Wapella Fire Department, were called to field fires and combine fires in outlying areas Saturday. Assistant Fire Chief Jason Carr reported a combine 4 miles west of Wapella was destroyed. Several acres of corn were burned. One farmer was taken to a hospital for injuries on Saturday. His condition was unavailable Saturday evening. Departments in rural Logan County also reported several field fires. Falling branches and strong winds knocked down power lines throughout various parts of central Illinois, including Bloomington, Normal, Lincoln, Wapella, and Clinton. Corn Belt Energy reported more than 2,100 customers without power about 3:30 p.m. on Saturday, affecting residents in DeWitt, Logan, Tazewell, and Woodford counties. There were also scattered outages reported in Bloomington and Normal by Ameren Illinois, which reported more than 1,300 customers without power late Saturday afternoon. Wind gusts of 45 miles an hour were recorded in Bloomington, according to the National Weather Service in Lincoln. Gusts in other areas reached 50 miles an hour. Forecasters did not expect that to happen again on Sunday. End of article. Sears closes stores and files for bankruptcy. Sears filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection last Monday with plans to shutter 142 unprofitable stores in hopes to stay in business. The question now is whether a smaller version of that company, which once towered over the American retail landscape, can be viable. At its peak, the operator of Sears and Kmart stores had 4,000 of them in 2012, but now we'll be left with a little more than 500. This has been Susan Over reading to you from the first half of the Bloomington Pantograph on Monday, October 22nd. At this time, we will take a short break.